ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, speak to our hearts the reality of your truth, that it may transform us from the inside out, that we may conform our lives to your standard of love and live it out in our relationships with others. Bless your people as we go to your word, and may your word go through us, transform us, and make us more like him. In Jesus' name. Here's what God's love is not. Some generic feel-good concept sprayed down from the heavens like sunshine. God's love is not accepting, tolerating, or affirming sin. That's not God's love. God's love is not accepting a behavior that is not godly. Somebody. Sometimes people in the church believe because God is love, they can say and do anything to you because you're in the church. No, there is a line that you should not cross with each other. And that line should be respect. It should be putting your brother before yourself, putting their needs before yours, sacrificially serving them and meeting their needs. Some vague promise lifted from a hymn or a prayer book followed by a feeling of righteousness, having sung it or said it, that is not love. Just because you sing love songs doesn't mean you walk in love. Just because you know love language, it doesn't mean that you're living that language. Are y'all with me this morning? Sometimes you feel every now and again when things go well and you get what you want. That is not God's love. Sometimes you don't get from God what you ask for because God is a better father than you are a better child. And he knows what is best for his children. Something you earn by being good or doing good. Love is unconditional. It's not based upon what you do or cannot do. But love does have a standard. Love does have ethics. Love is more morality. It's moral. It is not immoral. Love is not a source of hope that everything in your life will be problem-free, no interruptions, and all that you dreamed of will work out good for you. That's not God's love. And those who generalize God's love may never have fully and truly experienced it. And a shallow understanding of God's love renders it meaningless, fragile, and irrelevant. We need real love for a real world with real problems, real sin, a real devil. We need real love. If we've never really considered God's boundless love for what it is and what it costs, it's not surprisingly that we don't fully appreciate it. And in turn, we have a hard time trusting him because we fail to truly love him. The apostle wrote in 1 John chapter 4, 9 and 10, that apostle of love, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love is sacrifice. then secondly, that love is manifested by Christ at the cross. And thirdly, love is our testimony. Love is our testimony. It's the mark of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Love is the sign and the fruit of our relationship with God, not our gifts. Our gifts can be duplicated by the devil, but he cannot duplicate love, because love is the nature of God. And you have a lot of people that can perpetrate spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities, but have not love. We know that from 1 Corinthians 13. There were many in the church of Corinth doing that very thing, using the gifts, and they were just making noise. They were just like a gong, a clinging cymbal. They were giving their lives, and it didn't earn them nothing. They didn't gain nothing because of it, because they lacked agape love. Love, beloved, is love in action, is the true mark of a follower of Christ. So if we love one another, God is on display. That's the word. He's on display. 1 John 4:12. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. The apostle of love is saying that since God's love is perfected in us, this visible love from an invisible God becomes visible to the world. When the body of Christ love one another as he has loved us. Now that's the basis. How has he loved us? Sacrificially, unconditionally. And if we love each other that way, then the world can see a visible, living illustration of the love of God demonstrated at the cross. Jesus says to his disciples in John 13:34, John's gospel, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another, and this is why it's new, just as I have loved you. That makes the commandment new. Because we never seen anyone illustrate this in the Old Testament. But Jesus, the fulfillment of the old, comes in bodily form and demonstrates the command to love one another. So he said, love one another just as I have loved you. I must confess, I don't love like that all the time. How about you? And it says, you also are to love one another that way. The way that Jesus loves. The fact that he brings up the point that no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God in his divine nature, in his divine essence. God has never been seen by any living human being. Yet in the experience of mutual love among believers, the invisible God actually lives in us. And his love has made us complete in his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we love one another the way Christ loved us, then we are showing the world who God is. And then God can, in a sense, be seen by the community of faith, because we're loving each other the way Christ loved us. We're not setting up artificial, you know, rules, artificial systems in order to relate to one another. But we are genuinely and transparently loving each other the way we've been loved. The term lives or abides is from the word meno, and it means the abiding life of God. And that abiding life is also an abundant life. And God wants that abiding and abundant life, his life in us, that Zoe life of God, to be seen in how we interact. How do we resolve conflict? How do we overcome obstacles? But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. You see what John is doing, giving evidences of your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He's validating and authenticating that you are truly saved when you truly love. Do you see that? He's saying that when you are able to sacrificially, unconditionally relate to each other interpersonally, despite how you feel about each other, you are demonstrating divine love. And the idea of God's love reaching completeness in a believer suggests a deep and full experience of that love. That you have so deeply, personally experienced the love of God for you that you're willing to take that love that you experience and give it to one another. So how are people going to know of his power and glory if we don't show them? If we don't become living epistles and not just reading the epistles, but living out that truth from God's word. The hymnist writes, they will know we are Christians by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. And a skeptic may say, where in the Bible does it say that we will know God by Christians loving one another? John 13:35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, you are my followers, if you love one another. Let's qualify that. As I have loved you. Don't love me with your love. That's not good enough. And I'm not going to love you with my love because that's not for you. That's for Kim. That's for Nia. That's for Nathan. There's a family love. It's for my personal family. There is this romantic love. Eros is for my wife. But agape is for you. And agape is for me. So if you're going to step to me in love, do it in agape way. Because if you come any other way than agape, I'm going to have to confront it. And you're going to have to confront it. We should demand each other to love each other the way Jesus said, love each other. Not love each other based upon our dictates or how we feel or from our perspective. Because when you demand a person to love you from your perspective, they may not have your perspective. And they may decide, I'm going to love you the way I want to love you. Don't tell me how to love you. You know what I'm saying? And you have a lot of people like that. No, God doesn't want you to love each other on your terms. Your terms aren't good enough. He wants you to love one another on his terms. And that's why you need to be submitted to the Holy Spirit. Because he's the spirit of love. He's the one that produced the fruit of love in us. And he's the only one that can empower us to love as Jesus loved. You can't love me the way Jesus loves if you're not allowing Jesus to love through you. If we love one another, God gives us. He's perfecting his love in us. And he's putting himself on display for the world to see. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, John says again in 1 John 3:23-24, and this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. That's in John 14:15. That's what he commanded the disciples. And he says in verse 24, whoever keeps his commandments lives in God. They abide in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he lives in us or abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So what are we talking about this morning? We're talking about a supernatural love. We're talking about a spiritual love. We're not talking about human love. We're not talking about filial love. We're not talking about eros, erotic love. We're not talking about storge love. We're talking about agape, the love of God, manifested through us as we submit our will is patient and kind. That's agape love. That's not my love. That's not your love. That's agape love. The agape love of God is patient. That means it suffers long. And I can only suffer so long. And I can't take it no more. I'm like Papa. I can't stand it no more. I'm not taking this. But God's love is greater than that kind of Popeye patience. And many of us Christians, we pop up a lot because of our Popeye patience. We don't know how to take it. We don't know how to endure it. We don't know how to overlook it. We don't know how to relate to each other with a loss of memory. We don't know how to see each other with maybe a blurred eye. Like, I'm just squinting. I can just see you. But not all of you. We have to be able to do that. Because that's patient love. That's a long suffering love. Love is patient. And love is kind. It gives the good without receiving the good in return. Beloved, you need the power of God to do that in you. You know, you can read poetry and sing love songs and you'll never get to living out love. Just think about all the love songs in Motown that has been sung. Why are these singers have terrible marital relationships? It's just horrible when you read about these singers and their personal lives. They can't keep no love together. I mean, you can go from Babyface to the Temptations. And they're all struggling in relationship with someone they say they love. It's because they're loving with their love. They're not loving with the love of God. A Christian has an opportunity to love in such a way in our marriages, in our families, in our friendships and relationships, we can manifest to people the love that's patient. The love that puts up with foolishness in a way that our love can't. A love that bears the burden in a way that our love can't bear that burden. A love that never goes off. A love that never weakens or tires. When you find in marital relationships where a man and woman says, I don't love you anymore, what he's saying is, I don't feel love anymore. And I go, wow, you can still work it out because love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. Come on, somebody. Love is an action. Love is a decision. Love is a commitment. Just get this across to the American Christian audience about what love is in a relationship. It will transform the church life among Christians. The unseen God becomes seen in the love that's demonstrated by believers one to another. When we love as we should, when His love is complete or made perfected in us, we demonstrate this, that He lives in us. That's the demonstration. This is why you ought to love one another, so people can see that God is alive in you. Our love is evidence of His indwelling presence, and it becomes a revelation of His presence to others. May I also add that this is a powerful assurance that you are saved. Yes, it is. If you have ever doubted your salvation, your capacity to love one another as Jesus has loved you sacrificially and unconditionally should serve as an inner confirmation that you are truly a follower of Christ. Well, this is what John is saying. Now, I never thought of love being the evidence. that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this, all people will know that you're my disciples. That makes sense. Because obedience is a byproduct of love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He starts with love, not with obedience. That's a byproduct of one who loves God with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is powerful, beloved. That love now becomes the supreme mark, the supreme sign, the supreme fruit of a true follower of Jesus Christ. And that's so powerful because we can talk up a good love thing, but until you can demonstrate it, really don't, it's just words. It's just words. It's just sound and fury. Remember, God didn't just give us love. He gave us an example of love. That's the life of Christ. And then he made love the way in which he reveals himself to those who can never see him. The cross is the way that he demonstrated. But that only matters to those who believe the cross. There are millions upon millions upon millions of souls that don't believe that demonstration of love that they have. And then those within the body of Christ is suspect. If we really believe what we say we do. Because we never see it demonstrated in how we treat each other. And as a believer, you have the capacity to love. And the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only kind of love we should expect out of one another. The love that God energizes and enables us to manifest to one another. You have an example of love, Jesus' love, and you have a responsibility to love. That's the new command. Now, this is how you confirm that you belong to God. The way you demonstrate his love in a sacrificial service to others. When you're able to sacrificially serve others, put others first, overlook your wants, and minister to their needs, you are demonstrating agape love. To be loved by God is the highest relationship, the highest achievement, and the highest position of life. And when we don't believe that, we run after false lovers, trying to attain the highest relationship, trying to achieve the highest goal, trying to position ourselves in the highest position of life. So not to love with agape. We are to love then because it is the essence of God who lives in us. Because love is manifested by Jesus Christ at the cross who gave himself for us. And because love is the key to our testimony in declaring the very reality that God lives in us. And loving each other in a perfect, complete, mature way. As verse 12 puts it, we put God on display. Oh, that's rich, beloved. We put him on display. And that's the prayer in John 17. That Jesus prayed that the Father will manifest the love that they have for one another in eternity. That these disciples will have it. And then the world will know that they truly belong to me. It's to manifest this kind of love. Here's a fourth reason for love. Love is the assurance of eternal life. Love is the assurance of eternal life. In two ways. A, we know that we are saved. We know that we are saved. John shows us in 1 John 4, verse 13, how this love, agape, experienced among Christians can make God visible to one another and to a watching world. by this, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. This Greek says it's out of the Spirit that he gave us this. This agape, this fruit of the Spirit. Now in 1 John 5:13, he gives us another purpose for writing this letter. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may, what? Know that you have eternal life. So, beloved, eternal life can be something that you can know, not feel. I was listening to Marvin Sapp preaching. I should have been listening to him singing. But I made a mistake and was listening to him preach. And he was teaching his congregation in Houston, Texas, basically. I think he's in Houston. You cannot be sure about being saved. And because you can't be sure that you have eternal life, then you shouldn't treat others in a negative way. Because the people that you're trying to correct, they may be more saved than you are. Since we can't know that we're saved, then you can't correct nobody for acting unsaved. You hear what he's doing? You see what he's doing? He's saying, there's no room for judgment in the body of Christ. When the Bible says there's plenty of room for judgment in the body of Christ. Because that's where judgment begins, at the household of faith. It begins with the church. It begins with the people of God. It begins with the ministers of God and the members of God and the body of Christ. That's where judgment begins. And so if you're being ungodly and selfish, the very opposite of love, somebody should correct you. Somebody should put you to the side and say, this is not Jesus' way. This is not the Christ way. But he's saying, you shouldn't do that to me. Because you don't know if you're saved, let alone knowing that they're saved. Well, you, preacher, you're contradicting the inspired word of God. I should have listened to the singing. Because that's the lane he should stay in. He should stay out of the preaching lane. Because John, who was full and filled and led with the Holy Spirit, wrote in our verse, 1 John 5:13, I write these things that you may know intimately. That word know is intimate knowledge. It's personal knowledge. It's interpersonal knowledge of God, that you will know that you have eternal life. We do not receive eternal life when we die. We have it now. And we're supposed to walk in that life, that Zoe life of God, that abundant life of God, that abiding life of God. And God desires that we bear much fruit and so prove to be his disciples. The mutual abiding of a believer in God and God in that believer is indicated by the believer's experience of his Spirit. Go back to verse 13 in the fourth chapter. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. Out of the Spirit, he has placed within our spirit the very nature of God. The very attributes of God. So, experiencing the Holy Spirit suggests participation in the Godhead, literally. He has given us out of the Spirit, ek pneumatos. What has he given us? Agape. And agape love is only one fruit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love. Now, all those other things are just byproducts of love. That's the fruit. And if you have that fruit abiding, then all the other fruit is present. By virtue of his abiding in you and you abiding in him. It's out of the Spirit that we are given agape love, spiritual love, eternal love, and abiding love. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is the commandment that we believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. one another just as he commands us. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. When a believer loves, he or she is drawing that love out by the Spirit. So that means I'm being led by the Spirit. That means I'm being filled by the Spirit, influenced by the Spirit in order to love this way. It is something that the Spirit does in me as I participate with him in this Christian walk. When a believer loves, he's drawing out of the Spirit the very love that the Spirit deposited within his heart, who is also the source of our confession. In 1 John 4:2, it says, by this, the Spirit of God, you know the Spirit of God. How do we know the Spirit of God? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Listen, your confession of faith in Christ and your demonstration of love are products, listen to me, they are products of the Spirit's operation in you. It is not you operating. It's you participating with the Spirit. See, we can't produce fruit. We're just branches. It's the sap in the vine that produces the fruit. And it's the branches that bears the effects of the sap, which is the life of the vine. But that's the Holy Spirit for the believer. He's the life giver. And we are the branches that he flows through. And when we are submitted to him and surrendered to him, when we are being led by him, being filled full and filled by him, then he produces and operates within us supernatural fruit. He gives us a supernatural ability to be patient, to be kind, to be long-suffering, to forbear, to be ready to forgive at any moment for any injury or harm that was done to us. We will automatically go not to swinging, but we'll go to loving, patiently, prayerfully. We'll be quick to reconcile and not to keep our distance and say, I'm just going to treat them with a long-handled spoon. I'll see them, but I won't talk to them. That's not the Jesus way. The Jesus way is to allow the Spirit to do in you what you can't do for yourself. And that is to love like Jesus loved. We need to see a demonstration of how Jesus loved in the body of Christ. And if we do that, it just confirms we are saved. We have eternal life. It's a confirmation that you're saved. Now, here's the assurance that we are saved. A believer's spirit-led obedience becomes the evidence that he is enjoying the mutual abiding relationship with God that the apostle commands in this passage. Now, here's the results, lastly. The results of the Spirit's indwelling presence. It's in 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. The indwelling God, whose presence is manifested in the midst of a loving Christian community, becomes, in a sense, truly visible to the eye of faith. Oh, you can see it. You can experience it. You can know it. When you have believers who have been wounded or broken or confused or doubtful or have some kind of concern, that brothers and sisters come alongside of them and give them what they need. That's believers who abide and live in him have seen him. The Son, as he is manifesting his love among the believing church. We have to admit that we've seen glimpses of this manifest love within our own community. We've been together long enough to go through some valleys and some high hills and more valleys and then highs and then more lows. And the people that you depended upon to help you through the ups and downs of the Christian experience, they were there for you. They called you, they prayed for you, they visited you. They brought you food. They were there to affirm you're not alone. Even in our relationships of dysfunctionality in our relationships, there was someone who said, you can make this work. You can work this out. You can move forward together in holy matrimony. You don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to be a Popeye in your attitude. You can't stand it anymore. I'm getting out of this mess. Only to go into another mess. Only to be pulled out of more messes to come. But if you're in a community of faith that's manifesting the love of Jesus Christ to one another, there will be patience and there will be kindness. Are you with me this morning? And we have seen that. Let me put it this way. I have seen that in the body of Christ here at New Life over the years. So believers who behold this manifestation have in fact seen and can testify to the fundamental truth that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. This great truth is put on display by the means of Christian mutual love. How do you know you've been given the Spirit? That's the question. How do you know that you have received the Holy Spirit? It's not gifts. Can manufacture gifts. Not because you have some mystical experience that causes you to feel his impulses. Not because you hear voices. That could be a medical problem. Not because you feel promptings. Here's how you know that you've been given the Spirit. Because you believe the Father sent his Son to be Savior of the world. And you confess Jesus is the Son. In other words, it is your belief in the gospel that is evidence of the ministry and presence of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought of it that way? Do you think you will have to interpret tongues and speak in tongues and have healing power and have power of wisdom and discernment? You thought if I had that, then the Spirit is at work in me. No, the fact that you believe is the evidence that the Spirit is at work in you. If you're a believer today, that's the Spirit's work. If you are loving God in a way that is demonstrative, and you're trying to please him with your living, that's evidence of the Spirit's work. Don't relegate it to some supernatural, esoteric kind of a thing. Because you couldn't know that apart from the Spirit. What you believe, you couldn't believe apart from the Spirit. Who you worship, you couldn't worship apart from the Holy Spirit. Who you give your time, talents, and treasures to advance in his kingdom, you wouldn't do that if it wasn't for the Spirit at work in you, moving you to commit yourself to a body of believers with your time, your talents, and your treasures. You wouldn't do that in and of yourself. Because you couldn't know that apart from the Spirit's working. And I'm your witness. Do you believe the gospel? I mean, do you believe the gospel from beginning to end? From the end to the beginning? Do you believe all these elements of the gospel? That the Father sent his Son? That's part. is to say that you believe in the Trinity. And he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. It's a Father, and the Son, it's the Holy Spirit. You believe in the Trinity if you believe that. And you believe that salvation is by faith, not works. If you believe it's by faith and not works, that's the Spirit's work in you. Man, that's evidence. Man, I put my shoulders back. Stick my chest out. That's God at work in me. It's not me. Because it's confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the work of God. And God takes up residence in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in the believer. And that's not all. It comes full circle. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. That's part B of that verse. You see that? And so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him or her. That's rich. Look at this play on words, this interfacing of words. In other words, I believe the gospel, which I cannot believe apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? No, you didn't get it from the preacher preaching. You got it from the Spirit revealing. You didn't get this because the teacher taught. You got it because the teacher of teachers, the Spirit of truth, revealed it to you. It's the work of the Spirit in you. Furthermore, not only do I believe the gospel, but I have come to know and believe that all of this is because of the love that God has for us. That is rich. Billy Graham states, agape love is selfless love. The love God wants us to have isn't just an emotion, but a conscious act of the will, a deliberate decision on our part to put others ahead of ourselves. This is the kind of love God has for us. And each of us must receive and embrace by faith the eternal love of God. God is love. That's why he, the Father, sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your unending, unconditional, committed love, your covenant love. I confess that sometimes our hearts grow cold and we drift from your love in Christ. Today we choose to return to our first love. Refresh our hearts, renew our minds with the wonder of your amazing and gracious and glorious love. Help us to return to our first love, to love you with the same passion and gratitude we once had when we first believed. I thank you that no matter where we are and what we are experiencing, your love remains constant. It remains constant